Hi guys, I'm T-Code and welcome to the Hangouts with Abva podcast. On this episode, I interviewed Remy Olutimayi, West Africa's first voice acting director for animation, and he shares some of his most in-depth perspectives on the topic, telling our stories as African audio creatives. Enjoy. Well, everybody listening right now, you're welcome to the Abva Instagram Live. Of course, this will also be on podcast. We'll just call it Hanging Out with Abva or Hang Out with Abva. And today we're talking about telling our own stories as African creatives. It's a pleasure to be here. My name is T-Code and I am holding it down for voiceover conversations with Abva and with other voiceover content creators in the audio industry in Africa. So welcome guys to Hanging Out with Abva. Well, today I have a very important guest here. He's a personal person to me and he's also a very strong part of the Nigerian voiceover industry. He goes by the name Remy Olutimayi. And this person I'm talking about is one of the foremost voice director in Africa. As a matter of fact, he's West Africa's first voice director for animation. And Remy is quite knowledgeable. He has done tons of things in the voiceover space, talking about documentaries, audiobooks, even live events, and a whole lot of other things. So Remy, it's a pleasure to have you here. Welcome to this episode of Hangout with Abva. Good evening, Remy.
Hey, good evening. Good evening, T-Code. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yes, I'm excited to have you here. You know, I think we tried an audio recording together sometime recently, but unfortunately, we couldn't have that out. So now we are on this again, and it's a pleasure to, you know, be able to talk to you again. And it has been voiceovers and recording for the past few weeks for you.
Well, for me, life is never really boring. I find that when we do the things that we do, the stories just come. And they are always amazing, they're always fantastic. The thing is that it's very easy to look down on what you've got because it feels very common to you. But the truth is that if you sit down and actually pay attention to the stories, if you pay attention to the stories, if you understand the humanity of them as opposed to just the locality.
Yeah.
Amazing things happen. Yeah.
It's a good one. Like you said, amazing things happen, and amazing things have been happening recently with the Abva Awards. But that's something we'll talk about later. Let's get into today's conversation, talking about telling our own stories as African creatives. In one way or the other, we are all storytellers. I've heard this, you know, mentioned by some of the OGs in the storytelling world. As Africans, we all have a story to tell. But then a lot of times we need to emphasize and stress the fact that we need to tell our own stories. And one would think that for people who are natural storytellers and have a lot of history and all of that, it should come to us naturally. But why has this been a topic of emphasis for years now, saying that Africans, we should tell our own stories and all of that? What's your take on that?
All right. So my take is going to be, I'm going to have to reach back about maybe 3,000 years and sweep all the way back down. To the audience, please don't worry. I'm not going to talk for 3,000 years. I'm not going to keep it to about a minute. Fine. All right. Yeah. So the thing is that Africa, Europe, and Asia have had a very, very, very long history that spans 3,000 years. You know. So the thing is that the people who said that they discovered Africa were the children of discoverers who didn't quite understand what was already going on. So Africa was never discovered. Africa had always been part of it. You can ask the Portuguese. The Benin Empire had an embassy in Portugal. They had an embassy and an ambassador in Portugal, yes. So the thing is that the stories that we have are amazing. And the challenge, however, is that when you look at media, one of the things that people have been experiencing, well, when I say people, I'm talking about people who are of people who are not European, is that whenever they looked on the screen, they did not see people like themselves. And as such, even all the way to I was born in the 70s, so growing up in Lagos, Nigeria. Most of the stories that were in the school books, you know, and the books that I used to learn to read and write, like Peter and Jane, and they were white kids. They did not look like me. You know, I knew about snow, though I had never seen it. You know, and I knew about the four seasons, even though in Lagos you really have to. rainy, wet and dry, wet season, dry season. But I knew about autumn, I knew about winter, summer, spring, you know, but these things didn't, but this is the interesting thing about stories, The main reason why these stories overtook ours is because they're actually human. Let me put it this way. J.J. Abrams, brilliant man. I would really love to meet him and shake his hand, you know, and tell him that he's inspired me for like a very long time. J.J. Abrams said that, look, it doesn't matter if the story is in outer space or deep underwater or in the future. The primary story itself has to be human. Otherwise, the audience will not be able to accept it. A genius storyteller like Mel Gibson, in his movie Apocalypto, did not speak a line of English, but the story was human. So now this is the thing. We tied ourselves to those stories because they were popular, because they were in front of us, because they were. Hollywood is older than Nigeria has been independent. True. You understand? So, so, you know, they already had this thing going. You understand? Mm. It had always been going. It was a machine, you know, relentless. And, you know, we whatever it is that you're exposed to all the time, that's what you try to relate yourself to. And true. Then when you bring up a quote, in quotes, an African story, look, for the fact it's African, the format, the humanity is still there, but the format is different. The format is different from what you are used to.
Yeah.
You know? Brilliant men like Dembele. Dembele, no? Oh, snap. I can't believe I've forgotten this man's name. Hey!
It's all right. He's going to come back.
Anyway, when I say Usman, people who are familiar with African cinematography will know who I'm talking about. Mao's brilliant writer, filmmaker. His films were so African. They were so African. And people mistook that for, say, it's low budget. No, it's not low budget.
That's a very interesting point, right? Because... sorry, I had to cut you there, but...
No. Enjoy.
Okay. Now, it's a good thing that you're revealing to us how rich the African background is in terms of, in fact, telling stories. We have a lot of stories to tell, but obviously we've been influenced by the media, which, you know, in the 90s to even the early 2000s was heavily influenced by Hollywood and, you know, Western media. So that obviously affects our own culture of telling stories, I believe. And recently, working in the voiceover space, I've had to try my hands on different projects, and you still see that element of the Western type or the Western way of telling stories. I also find it interesting that this starts from even the writers themselves and how they tell our own stories. You know, you're writing a comic book, for instance, and you are using references from Thor, Avengers, you know, Vikings and all of that, whereas we have our own stories. And even when we want to portray our own characters, we try to give them a similitude of what we have seen in those foreign comic books and all of that. Even the voice actors, when they get to the studio to record those so-called African characters, we still hear a bit of accent here and there and all of that. How can we reshape the psychology, the mindset of the average African storyteller that has grown up to be used to, you know, the foreign concept of storytelling and even their stories?
Okay, so this is what I'm going to say is simple, but it's also very difficult. Be honest. Just be honest. No, I'm serious. Be honest. The fear of every storyteller is being misunderstood. That's a fear. That's a fear. And as much as it is a real concern, it's not really as serious as you would imagine. Let me put it this way. Well, for me, when it comes to... I'm going to take an example from my voice directing. Now, as a voice director, believe me, the first thing you need to understand is not the use of the voice. The first thing you need to understand is storytelling. You know, you need to understand it. If you don't, forget about it. Don't worry. And I'm talking about storytelling across books, across films, even across music. You need to understand storytelling. You know, as one of the best storytellers in music was Notorious B.I.G. You know, but as in, but it's a thing, yeah. Let me put it this way: the way that a Nigerian would react to being slapped for no reason is the same way a Russian would react to being slapped for no reason.
Okay.
It would be different for, let's say, a typical Canadian.
So are you talking in terms of that aggression that we put into that response?
No, I'm talking about the humanity in the culture.
Okay.
That is actually what comes out through the story. A story is not a bunch of words.
Yeah.
A story is an invitation into the life of somebody other than yourself. And the more you can relate with the person, the better. See, the thing is that because we've been so exposed to Western media, that was what we could relate to the most in that format.
Yeah.
So when we see ourselves as ourselves in that format, it feels alien.
Yeah.
It feels alien. I think the best way I can put it is a child sees mommy and daddy. Knows this is mommy, this is daddy. Okay.
Yeah.
The day the child sees mommy and daddy as boyfriend, girlfriend, he's confused because that's not the format he's used to. You get? Yeah. Why is mommy kissing daddy? Now, wow. So, as in, I believe that for me, I got over that shock very quickly, thankfully. I got over that shock very quickly when it came to seeing that on formats, as in seeing our culture in that format. It stopped being unfamiliar. I just realized we're just telling our stories.
Okay.
You know? So our stories are awesome.
Yeah.
Our stories are awesome. I'll give you one story before you continue. What's the largest wall ever constructed by the human race?
Is it the Great Wall of China? But no. Then I can guess already, it's an African wall.
It's the wall of the Kingdom of Benin.
I thought as much.
The wall of China is not even up to a quarter of the length of the wall of the city of Benin.
Wow.
It's not up to a quarter. But this is the thing. Because that was a story that China put on their back whenever they went to the world, whenever they met the world, whenever they sent anything out to the world. and there was nobody standing in to represent the Kingdom of Benin or Nigeria, in quotes, in that angle. You know, that became the dominant story.
This is interesting. Remy, it's interesting to talk about how, you know, the stories themselves, we are not doing enough to portray who we are. And it's so we're already looking at two things, the stories themselves and how we tell those stories. I have a very interesting question here. And that interesting question is, why has no one really taken it upon themselves to share this story in this era? I understand, of course, we had the likes of Jimmy Sholanke in the 90s with the kind of storyland that we saw in NTA growing up. We had stories like some other shows that we watched growing up in NTA, you know, Tales by the Moonlight and all of that. But we don't see these kind of things in this era. So why aren't we having creatives telling those kind of stories? And then who are the people responsible, or which set of creatives? Is it the writers or the voice actors, you know, that are, or the media? You know, what are those that we can say, oh, these are the people that should tell the stories?
All right, we need to be fair to the times. We need to be very fair to the times. See, right now, well, back then, I really wanted to be a storyteller, as in from the age of 4. That's how far back I wanted to be a storyteller. And that did not happen because the means at the time were as in, aside from money. In fact, before money, you needed to have state sponsorship. The government had to back what it is that you were doing, so that you could then get on one of the state-sponsored media houses. Because everything was NTA. Everything was NTA back then. Yeah, and NTA did a pretty decent job. The challenge that NTA had was that there were too many stories, not enough time, not enough outlets. That was just a challenge that they faced. So right now, the only person to blame, as in if you are a storyteller, if you want to be a storyteller, the only person you need to blame about, stories are not coming out, is in the mirror. that person is in the mirror. The thing is, a story just needs to get out.
Yeah.
For the format that is available is the one that you use. A story just needs to get out.
Yeah.
You know, now I've experienced the shyness. You know, I said, oh my goodness, what if they don't like me? What if they don't? So I'll tell you an interesting story. 2012, I had this African fantasy story in my head, and I was really shy. So I asked my friend Adeyemi Fatuna, aka Capoeira Panda, if I could use his if I could use his WordPress account to publish a story, because I didn't want to use mine. And he was kind enough and visionary enough. He was like, sure, why not? So we had a deal that every fourth day of the week, every Thursday, I'll send him a chapter and he'll put it up. Little did I know that it would be nominated for best series on a Nigerian blog that year.
Wow. And what year was this?
This was 2012. It was called Fourth Day. Okay, and it was,
that's this 10
was
years African ago.
Yeah, actually. Oh, wow. It's wow, that's older than my
that's
kid.
A decade
wow.
already.
That's a decade already, you know. So, but the thing is that the story got out. I had actually tried to get it out earlier than that, through a friend of mine, Yegua Upo. He ran a comic book company called Yellow Dog. Well, they were media production, well, it was kind of boutique media. And we got a graphic artist, Ajiri. We got Ajiri to come and try and draw drew the art for the story to turn into a comic. Adjiri couldn't pull it off. Not because Adjiri was limited. It was because the story was not mature enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. So 2012, the story became mature enough. But at that time, Yellow Dog had moved on to other things. Adjiri had moved on to other things. So I was like, okay, fine. I'll use the WordPress blog. I'll use my friend's one. And it got out there, and the world accepted it.
Wow.
You know? So look, that your story, if it's bad, it's bad. Don't worry. You will learn your lesson. You will come back stronger. That's it. Don't think, oh my goodness, it's my story. You know, people won't. Just tell your story. Don't worry about the rest. The rest is really in your hands. Yeah.
Interesting. All right, guys. If you're just joining, or while Remy was speaking, you joined. This is the Hangout with Abva, and we're talking with West Africa's first voice acting director. He goes by the name Remy Olutimayi, and Remy is way experienced in voiceovers with close to 20 years in the industry. And we're talking about telling our own stories as African audio creatives. And Remy, you've been doing justice to, you know, talking about the fact that we have our own distinct kind of stories, and how we tell them are very important. Let's go something closer to voice acting now. You've been a voiceover director for years. I know you started as a writer before you, and then copywriting, and then you started doing voiceovers and voice directing. What would you say are the most peculiar challenges, you know, to Africa? If you ask me, I would say something about the way we speak, the way we act. It's quite adulterated in terms of how much we've been heavily influenced by the Western culture, like I was saying earlier. But you know, you've had the opportunity to direct a lot of voice actors in Nigeria and even globally. So from that experience that you've garnered, what would you say are the challenges, or you know, the obstacles to how well we tell our stories as voice actors?
Okay. Before I answer that question, the African director's name is Usman Simbene. I had to say that the guilt was just growing. Yes, but I finally got his name, Usman Simbene. I'd advise that you check out his work. I think he's even done stuff with Wole Soyinka, if I'm not mistaken. Challenges. Also, just one other correction, yeah? I was a producer before I became a voiceover.
Oh, you mean an audio producer? So you're producing
voiceovers? I was producing voiceovers. Then I became a voiceover. Then I became a voice actor. Then I became a voice director.
I see.
And so that pipeline, that entire pipeline from inception to the finished work.
All right. Yeah. So tell us about those things that you've noticed that are like the challenges for African voice talent in telling their own stories.
Okay. The first thing is that that mental image you have in your head about the perfect take is a lie. I will tell you calmly. I don't need to meet you. I've been doing this so long. That idea you have about this is the perfect take. Oh no, it is a lie. It's a lie. And I'll explain to you why. I teach creative writing. I teach copywriting. And one of the things that I hammer into my students is the awareness of context. Now, you know those guys that do those fake accents, those terrible wannabe American type of accents? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is the thing, right? It has its context. Its context is not universal. It doesn't work in everything, but it works in certain things because we all know somebody that talks like that. It works in humor, as in if it's humor based, or you know, just for comedic effects.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, yeah, sure, why not? Usually that is indicative of self-rejection, because you don't think that your Nigerian way of speaking is clean or is tapping or Ghana respect.
Hmm.
And, you know, maybe in their hearts they are thinking that maybe if I do put enough work into it, I'll sound like Wole Soyinka. So this is the thing. I do accents.
Okay.
As in like a wide range of accents.
Yeah.
But recently I've realized that didn't actually stem from interest. That stemmed from the fact that I'm autistic, that I've got Asperger's. And with Asperger's, a lot of people with Asperger's, if you meet them and you ask them about accents, the thing is that what happens is that we code switch. Where I grew up in Ikoyi was an international community. And so I had, what I would say would sound odd, but yeah, it was true. Secondary school, I had two Russian classmates. I had a Hungarian classmate, Christian Som.
Wow.
I had a Scots school son, Shola Fawahimi, as in, his name is Nigerian, yes. But wow. You know, when Shola starts talking to you, right, you're not really sure what he's talking about, because, you know, he's speaking very fast and everything. That is how Shola sounds. Naturally, he's not forcing it. You get?
Yeah.
So, but the thing was that in order for me to, in order for, My first concern whenever it comes to speaking with people is to be clear, is to know that I've communicated. So as they speak, I take note of their tones, their inflections, their rest points. You get, and I figure that into how I'm going to say what I need to say, because it's very important to me that I communicate.
Mm.
That said. If you are worried that your audience is not Nigerian and they won't get you, don't bother. The world has been exposed to Nigerian magic, the magic of the Nigerian man and woman, for longer than you have been born. Much longer. They know how we sound. They understand us when we speak. They know. They do. If you're interested, if you're curious enough, go on YouTube and look for Nigerian accents, and you see a lot of white people
trying to.
They're not trying. They are getting it.
Wow.
Oh wow! It's so embarrassing. It's so embarrassing. It's all embarrassing.
Oh,
because
my.
We know somebody that sounds like this. We're like, wow. I don't understand why this person is talking like this.
Maybe it's the Igbo influenced or the Yoruba influenced, or, you know, depending on the tribe.
See, this is the thing. It's the tribe that they meet. They don't care. They don't know about tribes. They just know, okay, all right, he's Nigerian, isn't he? All right, fine. So, like, this is how he sounds, isn't he? Oh, what is going on here? So for them, They look at it as Nigerian accents, you know. Meanwhile, I'd like to even say this here with full chest. There is no such thing as a Nigerian accent. There are Nigerian accents.
I see.
There are Nigerian accents. Nigeria is a country. Nigeria is not a tribe.
Yeah.
You get. They are different. Yeah. They are different. They are. Nigeria is a country, so they are different. It's kind of like saying, speaking an American accent. Which one? Are you talking about New York? Are you talking about California? Are you talking about Mississippi? Are you talking about Texas? Are you talking about, as in, and I'm just mentioning states, so I'm not even mentioning towns and areas.
Yeah.
You know, so look, how you speak, the more comfortable you sound when you speak, and that's in terms of speaking from where, what you are familiar with. In terms of carrying the English language, the more comfortable you are, the better your performance. You get, the better your storytelling. It's automatic. It's people sense that you are enjoying yourself, that you're comfortable, and they'll buy into what you're saying.
All right. Remy, thank you so much. You've done a lot to explain to us, especially you mentioning the fact that one of the things you've noticed is that idea that a lot of voice actors have, that this is the perfect take in terms of when we're talking voice acting. Now, maybe a different scenario for just voiceovers, but for voice acting, as long as it's human enough, right, and has certain elements, you know, there's really, really no perfect take, as you said. Now, it's a good thing that you also mentioned accent, because I always love this conversation when we're talking about accent. I've heard you talk about it a couple of times, and saying that there is no Nigerian accent is something I agree with. There are several Nigerian accents because we all, you know, talk from different parts of the country.
As at least 550
languages, right?
In Nigeria. At least which influence the English.
The English that we speak.
And then we have what an accent pidgin. Is. Yeah.
And then we have the pidgin English, right?
That is accented as well, no.
Accented as well. In, so you have the Wari pidgin.
No, exactly. Wari, Lagos, Abuja,
Wafi. You know, different type, yeah. In fact, let's not even just limit this to Nigeria, because we have different African countries, right? And in the African space, we have the Northern Africans, and in fact, there are different kind of accents, I can guess, over there. And we have the West Africans, and you're talking the Ghanaians, the Nigerians. We have the East Africans, and we have the South Africans. And let's talk about what was your reaction when... It's not once, it didn't just happen once, but it had always happened somehow, somewhere in Hollywood, when they want to interpret or express the African accent, and then they just assume that there's a particular way that we talk. So I want to ask, what do you think is responsible for that error, that erroneous thought that, oh, this is the way Africans speak? And how can we even correct that to the global community?
All right, gather around, children, and I'll tell you a story about colonial Africa. When the Europeans and the Americans wanted to go on holiday to Africa, they would go to Kenya or to South Africa, and they would hear things like, ah, Jambo Bwana, come here, welcome to our land. And they thought, oh my goodness, this sounds African, and this is what an African sounds like. Yes. So they would then go back and they were like, all right, so we want to do a movie and we need someone who's like, sounds like African. All right, you look. What is going on here? You don't sound really African. Charlie, look, I don't like the way that doesn't sound African. Hey, Jambo Bwana. Yes, I went on holiday in Africa when I was 5 and I heard a guy sound like that. That must be African. And that's it. It's about influence. That's influence. You know, so as in, this is something like for right now, people's parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, that was the bulk. The bulk of them were exposed to that side of Africa.
And you're talking here the eastern and the southern, you know, type of
specifically.
Africa.
Specifically, yes. Just a side note. There was a time when, before I moved, changed my focus to talent development. I was one of the top 5 male voiceovers in Nigeria. And there's nothing that's as disturbing as entering an ATM gallery and hearing your voice talking at you from 8 machines.
Interesting.
Oh yeah.
Interesting. I get that feeling. Okay. Yes. While we were speaking, I wish we can still even delve deeper into this, because
we need to
do a lot about talking about, and I don't want to make it a bias to assume that it's just the African continent that suffers this. If even we as Africans, where we want to mimic the kind of like UK accent, we forget that they are different. And, well, who do we blame? Because not everything or not every type of those accents are things that we know. Yeah. So I think it's a general issue, but we'll get back into trying to unravel these types of accents. While you were speaking, someone was, one of our listeners was going to engage you, I mean, ask questions, because, by the way, we have people that are listening all across Africa, and, you know, we can also bring one or two persons into this live conversation, and they ask you questions. So, anytime
please.
From now, yes, yeah. Someone is going to, yeah, we already have a listener here. And it's nice to have you here. EE, that's your acronym. I don't know what that means fully, but you're welcome to the live conversation.
Can you hear me? Thank you.
Yes,
can you hear me?
I can hear you. I can hear you.
Oh, awesome.
Perfectly.
Okay. Good evening. Thank you, Mr. Remy. Thank
welcome.
You, our dear host. Let me just skip my mind. Thank you.
Tolu, his name is Tolu. Tolu, yeah. T-code, yes, T-code.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. The EE stands for Energetic EJ. My name is EJ,
nice.
But I'm known as the Energetic EJ. Thank you for this amazing conversation that's been going on. I love the fact that, you know, we're talking about telling our own stories as Africans, right? And knowing that, I love when Tolu asks, like, why don't we have, you know, the likes of, you know, Taste by Moonlight, and just, you know, telling our own story and evolving. And I also love the answer that, you know, Mr. Remy gave, that, you know, we need to just, the times have changed and all of that. But the question I raise, I feel like right now, more than ever, we have what it takes. You know, you were mentioning, Mr. Remy, like back then, it would cost a leg and an arm to be able to put any, you know, good production together. But right now, I mean, technology has got better. We all have, in fact, our devices are machines on their own that can actually help us. So what would you say is actually stopping us from doing this right now?
Well, I think I answered, but what I'll do is... Because Energetic EJ asked me, I shall then endeavor to answer with a more interesting... Yeah, it just means that my answer was fairly bit short in terms of... It felt a bit short. Okay, so so this is the thing. If you are a writer, write. If you are a voiceover, find stories, ask permission, and record yourself and share. If you are a voice actor, do the same. If you are an animator and you come across someone's work, and in terms of reading out or performing a story, and you like it and you're interested, reach out to them, ask their permission, and animate. Just do it, as in Nike. There is a friend of mine. His name is Oji Okosun. You can find him on Smile77 on YouTube. He did that. He and I are very, as in, because of that, I sought him out and said we have to be friends because of his thinking. So Agodai, everybody knows, every Nigerian knows, should know Agodai, the stand-up comedian. So he came across some of Agodai's content and decided to animate it. I believe he asked for permission, and the animation made the joke so much funnier. So much funnier. Please look for Oji Okosun on Instagram or on YouTube. He's also known as Smile77. See what he did. Look, the stand-up comedians are they are the boldest of us, because they go out and they tell our stories. No matter how outlandish. We all know that this thing must have happened. We all know. Basketball talking about the first time he smoked weed when he was on a bike, and he was saying his voice say, jump down now. So,
wow.
Yeah, so look, just be bold. Be bold. Tell your story. Be bold. Be bold. Just do it.
I agree with you, Remy, because we now have opportunities to tell stories via even podcasts, and podcast is fast growing, even in the African continent right now. So that's a fantastic way to answer that question. So exciting, EJ. I want to assume that, you know, you
energetic.
Have...
It's energetic.
She's energetic.
See. She's energetic.
energetic.
You understand? You have to hand it. You have to hand the energy. If you don't hand the energy, you'll miss it. Hand the hand in the energy.
That was energetic. Thank you very much, energetic
EJ. Thank you so much for joining.
Yep. It's a pleasure, mine.
All right. While you were speaking, Remy, a question popped up, and this one is coming from one of our listeners, I guess, on Facebook. The person says, "But what is an African story? Is it one within?"
I'm not mocking him. The question is more common than you'd imagine. But please go on.
I can understand too. Is it one written by an African? One about an African or Africa, or one set in Africa?
All right, so I'm going to tell you something that will bust your brain.
Yeah.
Lord of the Rings, if we follow by, it has to be written by an African for it to be an African story. Mm. If we follow that rule, Lord of the Rings is an African story.
Wow. Are you just trying to say that Lord of the Rings was written by an African?
Tolkien was South African.
Oh, wow! That
he was a British subject, just like every Nigerian, like every Ghanaian, like every Tanzanian. He was a British subject, but his home he grew up in South Africa. That's where he came from.
I see.
See, I would say this: don't knock your head up and down about that. Don't knock your head up and down about that. And here is why. Who told the story is not as important as what the story is about. Mm. And the more honest you are, see, the best stories, even if it's science fiction, if you sit down and listen to the life of the writer, you realize that even that science fiction, that is from that person's personal story. Mm. I'll give you an interesting example. One of my favorite writers slash thinkers slash inventors slash filmmakers ever was the late Michael Crichton, the guy who wrote Jurassic Park and wrote Congo. Now, if anybody has watched Congo, Congo is a story about a gorilla who learned sign language. So they gave her a glove that could interpret, as in when she made the signs, it would read it out in English. Mm. Okay. When I read his autobiography, Journeys, I read the story about the time that he actually met gorillas.
Hmm. Interesting.
So
from what you're saying now, it's not exactly about who writes the story.
Don't worry. Those things will be sorted out. Mm. Those things will sort themselves out automatically. You just talk about what you know.
Yeah. And it's interesting that while you were speaking, some comments were dropping. So Wakil Zenge from Instagram says, "But what is an African story? Is it one written by an African, one about an African, or one set in Africa?" Okay, that was the question we took the time. Yeah. And a response came from Muruti. And Grace Muruti from Instagram as well said, "I would say an African story is one about an African."
So then you would see, this is where the thing for me is this, right? Whenever I try to draw these lines, it's not, the world is not utopia. They will trip you up. You might as well say that, okay, Concussion is an African story, but it's a story about the central character is a Nigerian American doctor. But the story is about how somebody saved the lives of so many people on the NFL, American NFL. We don't do American football in Africa.
Yeah. So we can actually call it an African story.
You understand.
Yeah.
The thing is, just talk about what you know.
Originality.
Talk about what you know. Look, an American can come live in Nigeria for 30 years, 20 years, 10 years, 5 years, write their experience. Or draw from their experience. In as much as the person is American or British or Swiss or Belgian or Finnish or Swedish, that they are talking about Africa, they are talking about Ijebu Ode, they are talking about Freetown. They are talking about Kumasi.
Okay.
It's already there. Yeah.
Okay.
It's already there.
Remy, so let's track back a little bit when you said the onions is on all of us to tell our own stories. If you're a writer, if you're a producer, maybe a movie producer, if you're a voice actor and all of that. Now, it's interesting that I you know, you may, for instance, imagine that Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie, one of the great writers that we have out of this country and the continent as well, writes an indigenous story, or even, let's just even say, an African-related story.
She's already done that, too. But
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, I'm trying to paint the picture. So she writes one of our stories, let's just say one of our stories, or Chinua Achebe. And then you want to listen to the audiobook, and then you realize that the audiobook you're listening to is in a different accent that is not African.
All right.
I know this is very possible, and why I'm saying this is because we've had voice actors that they tend to believe that audiobooks should sound a certain manner. And I'm asking this question, it's not really a question now, but it is about the fact that we need to come into the acceptance of our own accents as, you know, Africans. And I want you to talk more about that. You know, we're talking about accents before we left that conversation. If I'm reading a Nigerian book, I want to hear it in the Nigerian accent. That's me personally, right? If I'm reading a Ghanaian book or a Kenyan book, I want to hear it in the accent that, you know, it was originally inspired from.
So you want the person to sound like they know what they're talking about?
Yes, two ways. Yeah, aside just even sounding like they know what they're talking about.
No, I'm not talking about intellectually. I'm talking about like experience.
So if I'm reading Things Fall Apart, and the setting is, or the plot is, from the Igbo culture, the Igbo tribe, I don't want to hear that or all those, you know, imagine calling certain names with the Igbo, certain Igbo names with
Kenkwo. And the Kenkwo said.
Yeah, and I want you to talk a bit about this so that people don't feel like, because I cannot speak in some Western accent, I am not good enough to be a voice actor.
All right, so
we need to stress this a little bit. Go on.
All right, so this is what I'll say to address people who think like that. You are correct. There is a standard. It's not a strict standard. It's pretty wide standard, but there is a standard when it comes to audiobook narration, and that is to be clear. Be clear. Enunciate properly, pace your words properly, so that way the meaning does not escape because you just wanted to sound clear.
Yeah.
For example, it was her. Depending on the context, it was her. It was her. It was her. All of these things. All three deliveries mean different things in terms of the context, whether they are pointing at somebody, whether they are talking to somebody, whether they are talking about someone. Those are the sort of things that need to be reflected clearly in terms of standard when it comes to narration for audiobooks. Now, when it comes to sounding African, when it comes to narrating African stories, I will say very, very comfortably that the better your English, the more confident your English, the better your delivery. What trips people up is the specific language or languages. And I'll say this, Africa has so many languages, it's very difficult to actually find a native speaker for all of them to narrate your audiobook.
True.
No, it's weird. I know, believe me, I've tried. I've tried. Zimbabwe, I've tried. in terms of casting. And the thing is that it's not so much finding people who are difficult finding people who are willing, but finding people who are experienced.
True.
Because just those different choices in inflection that I just shared right now.
Yeah.
If you are not experienced about that, you just end up giving a very flat delivery.
Even though you speak that accent so well, but then you don't have the acting experience.
Or you get how.
Yeah.
Nobody's asking you to sound like Siri. That's not what they're interested.
Yeah.
You know, anybody can sound like Siri.
Yeah.
You know? So the other thing too was, as in those who didn't have experience, the costs were kind of forbidding, you know, because we're working with their learning curve. And, you know, the thing for me is I'm actually really looking forward to a time where people can actually come around and support people across the continent who have knowledge of these languages.
Yeah.
And then, but they don't have a voice, they don't have a voice performance culture outside of singing, you know, to actually gather around. No, it's true. And to, because, you know, there's a difference between voicing and vocalizing.
Yeah.
Good.
So, man, there's a lot we can touch. Sorry for cutting you, Remy, because we're really running out of time now. What you just mentioned now is somewhere around where we're going to be ending the conversation. But while you were speaking, someone said, I agree exactly. So I agree, the accent exactly I want to hear. An Igbo accent, Tolu, you are hitting the right spot. Love it. Energetic EJ. Thank you, EJ. You've been listening. And thanks to every other person that has been on this live with us, listening to this interesting conversation with Remy. Another person says, delivery is everything in audio, though. Yeah, we agree with you as well. So, Remy, we've had a great time. We're almost an hour into the conversation, and we need to wrap up. And I can't wait to have you another time on. It was just getting interesting, right? Okay. So, just a bit of a summary of what we've said so far. You know, you've spoken about why it seems like our stories aren't being heard or told by us. It's because, first of all, we have that cultural adulteration in terms of the things we're used to, the media, the kind of things that Hollywood brought our way over the years. And then going to accent, we talked about accents, we talked about a whole lot of things. I want you to give us some tips on voice acting as a voice over director, right? Let's just have one or two tips from you before we call it a wrap on the show this evening.
Okay, but I need to be specific because my voice direction covers animation, audiobooks, documentaries.
So let's
cover like 10 formats. So you need just be specific.
I'd have chosen to because we're talking voice acting. I mean, we're talking storytelling rather. And in storytelling, you probably assume the role of a narrator, which I really would enjoy to hear something about that from you. The other part of storytelling that I love as well is when you're playing characters in the story, right? You are Mama BC or you are Papa or you're something like that. So you can give us some tips from those two angles.
All right. So I'll give three tips. They're not really tips per se. They are truths to hold while you are working. You must hold them. The master of the entire of the project is the story. So
the master of the project. Can you take that again?
The master of the project is the story. So read the story to understand it. Don't read to know how you're going to deliver it. No, understand the story first. Read and understand it. Read and appreciate it. You know, you can't you can't attack everything with the spirit of cold reads. Especially if one of the huge differences between voiceover and voice acting is stamina. You know, with voiceover, your work is perhaps the longest thing you might do might be a 5-minute documentary. But with voice acting, that's like marathon running. You're not sprinting. Mm-hmm. If you sprint now, hospital, Panadol and honey, that's all that you'll be doing for the next, like, to try and get your voice back if you try and sprint. Mm-hmm. Okay, so pace yourself. The second thing is that there is no one way to interpret a thing. You know, there's no one way to interpret a thing. Like I said about how, you know, you can have different takes. It's all about the perfect take that exists. It's all about what works in the context that you are working with.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you are reading and your delivery does not sound or feel right, don't get upset with yourself. It just means that your voice and the story are calling your attention to something that you might have missed. They are your friends. Mm-hmm. They're not your enemies. They're not marking you down. They're not dismissing you. They're not condemning you. They're not making you out to be a fool. They're just letting you know everybody has to have their attention called to something at some time. You know? So it's just part of the process. It's not. Don't take it as judgment. The final thing I'll say is that please have fun. If you're not having fun, people will hear it and they won't be able to connect with it as strongly as you imagine they would. Have fun. You need to have fun. You need to enjoy yourself. It might be hard, but that's because you're taking yourself too seriously. Look, you will make mistakes. Let the mistake happen. Play along. No worries. Be like DJ Okocha.
Thank you for holding it down with me today on Hanging Out or Hang Out with Abva. It's been a fantastic 1 hour with you. The last few points that you dropped was the master of the project is a story. Read the story to understand it. You also said that there is no one way to interpret a thing. And lastly, you emphasized that we should have fun. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure having you on this platform. And I can't, like I said before, wait to have you again. One more thing. I'd just like to say something to African creatives, you know, just say something to everybody and then we'll round off.
All right. So first, shameless plug-in. I'm the convener of Voice Acting Africa, where I look to gather and nurture and develop natural African talent. No, there's no membership fee. But you can find us on Clubhouse. And you can. The thing there is that all the questions you need to ask that you've got no one or no one's been available to answer to help out with, you can reach me there. You can hit us up on Twitter or on Instagram. We have a Telegram group. Well, we also hold Clubhouse meetings at 2 p.m. West African time every Tuesday. Now, regarding the African creative, I'll tell you something that I took a while to accept. When I say I took a while, as I'm speaking to you right now, I'm a former banker. I'm a former advertising practitioner. I'm a former magazine editor in chief. 2 magazines or not one. I've had different careers, but I still found my way back into storytelling because in all of those careers, I was telling stories. Mm. I was telling stories. If there was an irate customer in the bank at the time, my head of department would be like, Remy, can't talk to him. Talk to him.
Interesting.
So I go to the guy, I'm like, good afternoon, sir. You see, just saying that, we think, his accent. No, it's a story. This is the beginning of a story, a very polite man wanted to know what the problem is. and the person will feel welcomed and safe. I'm like, this person wants to hear me. You know, and there were times that people tried to mimic the accent back poorly. I keep a straight face and listen through to them. Yeah, you know, the problem is that when Irish, I pray the morn, I didn't see the receipt. So I'm like, all right. So the thing is that wherever you are right now, please do not defecate on what you have.
Gotcha.
Stop it.
Gotcha.
Stop it. Just try your hand. Just try your hand and try at it. Give it, share it with the world. The world will let you know where it ranks and whether they can connect with it or not. In fact, for the fact that you get any feedback at all, it means it connected. Ah, this thing is trash. Look, they connected. Just sift through everything. They connected.
All right. Thank you so much, Remy. This is fantastic. Energetic EJ has also joined our Clubhouse channel, because I'm a part of it as well. So everyone else can join. Thank you so much, Remy. So we'll meet another time.
Yes, we will meet another time. I want to thank everybody who listened in, everybody who offered their questions, everybody who connected with us. And for all the African creatives out there, I have just a prayer for you. I'm an African first before I'm a human being. And my prayer is that what it is that you're looking for will find you as you do what you should do with what is in your hand. You know, please don't look for other people for encouragement. Just do it. That story that you have is what's going to make it root for you. You don't have to make it root for it. Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much, Remy. My name is Tolu Kolade, and I'm here representing the APVA. And see you guys another time. This episode was hosted and produced by T-Code for APVA. For more information on how you can be a part of Africa's largest pool of audio creatives, visit www.apva.africa.